Today we have a lengthy reading from that first Pentecost, but it is the Pentecost story and one that's important to hear. So before I read, I invite you to join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created, and you will renew the face of the earth. Lord, by the light of the Holy Spirit, you have taught the hearts of your faithful. In the same Spirit, help us to relish what is right and always rejoice in your consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Beginning with Acts 1, 1 to 5, and then moving to Acts 2, I invite you to listen. Hear the word of God. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you've heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then continuing in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and tongues rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let the Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed this message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Friends, Pentecost is an important day for all Christ followers because it marks a new day. It's the birthday, if you will, of the newly forming church of Jesus Christ in the world. It's a gathering of Jesus' people to carry on Jesus' work and mission in the world. From a historical perspective, Christianity did not start when Jesus was born, nor had it begun at his death or even when he ascended into heaven. Christianity got its start on Pentecost. the day that the Holy Spirit entered a room holding Jesus' apostles and filled each one of them, it was an event which makes the church the church. Pentecost gets its name from the Jewish celebration of Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks. It's the Greek name for that same festival. And of course, Penta means 5 or 50. In this case, it's 50 days since Easter, and Pentecost literally means 50. The Jewish festival is what had brought the crowds of Jews from all over the region to Jerusalem in the first place. It was a festival time. That's why this diverse crowd was there in the first place. Pentecost, for Jesus' followers, celebrates the day the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and empowered them to share the gospel with others in many languages. Part of the miracle was that they began to speak languages they had not studied nor spoken in before this day. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit brought the church of Jesus Christ to life in the world, breathing life and power into all that were followers of Jesus so that they could continue the ministry and mission of Jesus in the world. Pentecost has the liturgical color of red. It symbolizes the Spirit's tongues of fire that rested on the apostles on that first Pentecost. Also, it speaks to the blood of the Christian martyrs, those who would live this life and follow Christ, who would lay down their very lives for the cause of proclaiming Christ in the world. So that's why Christians dress in red, not so that you can be martyred necessarily, or to decorate the churches, but it's just to remind us that this is a day of celebration for the church. It's a day that we celebrate the life of the church, the ongoing life of the church. Now I want to shift a little bit and talk about the ways we talk to God and talk about God. I don't know about your prayer life. I don't know who you call upon when you call out for help. But lately, I've been focused more on calling the Holy Spirit by name. More and more asking help directly from the one that Jesus said, I'm sending you to be a help, to be an advocate, to be a support. So I say often, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. I'm realizing, or I'm being reminded by the Spirit, which is part of what the Spirit's role is, to remind us of all that Jesus taught us. I'm being reminded that the Holy Spirit is the help of God made present and powerful to help me and to help each of us face whatever life throws our way. Jesus had promised the disciples that though he was preparing to leave them to ascend into heaven, that he was not going to leave them as orphans or to abandon them, but he was going to send them a helper, the Holy Spirit, so they would not be alone. And Jesus breathed on them in one of the passages and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He was preparing to go back to heaven to be with God and the first person to sit at God's right hand. But he charged the disciples as he was going to go back to Jerusalem and to wait. Their first job was to wait. And I don't know about you, but most of us are not good at waiting. We want to get on with things if there's work to be done. But Jesus wanted them to understand that the first work they had to do was wait on the power and the strength that they would need in order to be about his work in the world. That they didn't have it in and of themselves to go out and to be Christ's church in the world. But he was preparing them. So he said, wait, probably the hardest thing of all. For he was getting ready to send them power, power from on high, the very power of God, to fill Jesus' followers, to enable them, to strengthen them, to envision, to direct, empower the apostles to be Jesus' church, to be Jesus' people, loving and growing and serving in the world. Realize there was no church. There was no movement other than those that had followed Jesus, and now it was beginning to take a shape of its own, to become a community of faith based on Christ's ministry. So that first Pentecost, the Spirit came powerfully into the room and into the lives of Jesus' apostles, and people were confounded by both the sound of the rushing wind and the look of the flames as they lit upon the heads of the people gathered there. How can these people be speaking and hearing the gospel in so many different languages? Some said, well, they must just be drunk. But they weren't drunk. They were filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and they were given the gift of being able to speak the gospel in all the languages of all the people that were present there, so that the gospel could be heard. The Spirit changing the hearts and lives of men and women, young and old alike, people filled with the vision of God's new day, people working together to share God's love like never before. This is the same Holy Spirit that was present from the very beginning of creation, in all things gathered there with God, brooding over the lifeless void that would come to be the universe and the world as we know it. That same Spirit was joining with God in creation, the wind of life blowing wildly where it will. The Holy Spirit is still the creative force of life that fills us, that helps us to breathe in the very breath of God. And you remember back to the creation story and how God formed Adam and then Eve, but God breathed life into them. Well, this is the same breath of God that is being blown among us now by the Holy Spirit. This is our holy advocate, the promised advocate who would help us to understand, make sense of day to day, all that Jesus taught both in his words and in his actions. So we've got holy help, helping us to live as disciples, because we've not been called by Christ to do this on our own. To try to do so would to be a miserable failure. But Jesus didn't ask us to do it in our own strength or with our own wisdom. Instead, he said, wait, help is on the way. The Holy Spirit is like a midwife. Paul describes this in Romans 8 when he talks about how when we can't even find the words to say because we're in such distress, that the Holy Spirit prays for us with utterances that God understands completely. So like a midwife, we groan in the birth pains of new creation, but we have this Holy Spirit prayer partner who knows the deep sighs of our hearts, who knows the prayers of our heart when we can't even find the words to speak, and who gives these prayers of our heart a deep utterance that God fully knows and understands. How comforting to know that even when we can't pray for ourselves, the Holy Spirit is praying for us. So the true miracle of Pentecost, in a large sense, wasn't the pizzazz of the wind and the fire, but it was the miracle of communication, where there were people speaking and hearing and understanding. Because if all you have is speaking and no one listening or hearing, you really don't have communication. And if you have someone speaking and people are hearing, but they're not understanding, you still don't really have communication. But in this case, the Holy Spirit allowed there to be speaking of the gospel, hearing of the gospel, and understanding of the gospel, both in the head and the heart. So people were empowered by the Holy Spirit to find their voice. They were empowered to share the good news of Jesus Christ. They were enabled to hear and to respond to that life-changing gospel. The Holy Spirit was and is like a rushing wind. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus and was trying to figure out what he needed to do, and Jesus said, you must be born again, and he was confused as to how he could be born a second time, and Jesus said, well, it's like the Spirit. It's like the wind. You can feel the wind, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. You can't see it or feel it, and yet you can see the effects of it. You can witness its work. So the Holy Spirit was and is present, both in the wind and in the fire. And in the fire, we see this sense that fire was always symbolic of burning off the dross of impurities, that metals might be refined to their truest element. And with us, it's the burning away of anything that's needless or distracting us from God. The Holy Spirit is the promised and prophesied power we need to be the church for the world today and every day. The Holy Spirit is teaching us also what it means to truly breathe deeply the breath of God. Sometimes we're so stressed in this life that we live our lives shallow breathing. And you'll have somebody say, you need to stop and take a deep breath. Especially with people with high anxiety. I have a person like that in my life, and she said, do you know how many times that's been effective to tell somebody having a stress attack to calm down and take a deep breath? I said, apparently it's not working right now. But I'm going to continue to insist that if you could try a deep breath, I think you would benefit from it. Sometimes the words get in the way. Sometimes we've got to figure out what it means to take that deep, cleansing, filling, empowering breath of God within us. Because it's what allows us, enables us to experience the new creation that God is about. What it means to be born again to new life. The Holy Spirit is supplying us the strength to go out and live this life among our neighbors and strangers alike, to share the good news with them all through our words and deeds of love, which the Holy Spirit is connecting with Christ. By the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is calling each of us to pray and to pray and to pray some more in cooperation with our prayer partner and advocate, the Holy Spirit, seeking God's plan and direction, not just for our individual lives, but for our communal life together in communities of faith, for the communal life together in nations like our nation, and to ask God to help us know your plan. Help us understand your mission and purpose for this community and how we are intended to help carry out that mission in the global village of this world. By the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit, we're being strengthened daily to endure hardship and suffering and painful times in our lives, and to have that deep inner peace that Christ also has promised his disciples as he was preparing to leave them. He said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. This is a peace that really passes our understanding. But we're being sustained in the midst of hardship by an inner peace that we can only credit to God, because we know circumstances are such that we ought to be falling apart. And yet we find peace and we find the ability to be sustained in the midst of that. The Holy Spirit is still empowering us with the very presence of God, not only to breathe life and to take the power of God with us, but it helps us also to recognize the God-given gifts that we've been given, the talents we've been given to serve God and to share God's love in the world. It takes a whole variety of people with a whole variety of gifts to care for the needs of the world. And God's taking care of it by spreading those gifts around. And it is the Holy Spirit that gives life to the gifts and enables us to use them to make a difference. We can pray with confidence, come Holy Spirit. But when we ask, we better be prepared for things to happen. Because help will show up, help will come, and things will begin to happen in our lives that we won't be able to explain away as being anything other than the answer of God to our prayer for help. And help begins to show up from unexpected sources because God has access to all the resources. So don't be afraid to ask God's help. Don't be afraid to ask the Holy Spirit to come and be present with you to help you. But just be prepared to see it start to happen. Friends, the Holy Spirit is still creatively present with us today. Young and old, men and women, people of every nation have been offered the power we need each and every day to fulfill our calling as disciples of Jesus Christ, to live and to learn and to love throughout our lifetime. And to the end that God's kingdom of love may flourish and grow in and around us, and that God may be glorified all the days of our lives. Will you please stand now for the charge and benediction in our closing hymn, which is Spirit, Open My Heart. Hear this charge. I don't know if all this talk about the Holy Spirit leaves you a bit breathless or afraid, but I'm going to invite you all to take a deep cleansing breath right now. Better, yes? Keep breathing. It's the way God intended your body to work. Don't try holding your breath too long. It doesn't work out so well. But I will invite you to release your fears and anxieties, breathing deeply this new life that God offers us through the Holy Spirit who came among us at Pentecost. I invite you to feel the hope and the strength and the power of God pulsing through your veins, and giving you the courage and the voice and the direction to live your life for God, with God, to the glory of God, both now and forever. Now go forth into the world with compassion and justice in your heart. Give voice to the silent and strength to the weak. Hear one another, see one another, care for one another, and love one another. It's all that easy. And it's all that hard. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.